This is the Urban Political,
the podcast on urban theory, research, and activism.
We had an island. We were stomping old tribe on an island. Red faces, hairy bodies, happy to be hairy, happy to be hairy. When the breezes tickled the hairs of our body, happy to be hairy, happy to be hairy. Next best thing to having feathers. That was our national anthem. Right, hairy tribe, hairy red storytelling, song singing, dragon fighting, fire drinking tribe. Used to get invaded every other weekend. Romans, Vikings, Celts, fire, sword, they pushed us back, but they never broke us down. In between invasions, we grew spuds and barley, took our animals wherever there was a river and some grass. When the snows came, we moved south. When the rivers dried, we moved west. When the invaders came, we burnt our crops, moved. Until one day, we were surrounded by warriors. Same old fire and sword, but used efficiently. They slaughtered our warriors, lined up the rest of us, and there were speeches about law and order. And this is what they did. This is government. You take an island and cut it carefully with a razor blade called law and order into a jigsaw of pieces. The big, rich, colored pieces go to the big, rich men. And the smaller, paler pieces, 5-bed, 2-recept barn, mooring rights, 5 acres, go to the small, rich men. And nothing at all goes to those who have nothing at all. Absurd? The many nothing at alls wouldn't stand back and see their island slashed into 10,000 pieces. They didn't stand back. Our hairy tribal ancestors, some of them stood up, some spoke out, fought back. They were slashed down by the giant razor blade. And now, the rich seldom have to kill to defend the land they stole from all the tribe. Wire fences, guard dogs loose on these premises, no trespassing, bailiffs, security guards, police, magistrates' courts, prisons, grey prison, where the brain and the flesh turn grey as the green English years stroll by outside the walls. So, who needs fire and sword? The tribe has been tamed, and our island, our daft, green, stony, gentle, rough, amazing haven, entirely surrounded by fish, has been stolen from the tribe. It was robbery with most bloody violence. And that was history. Mm-hmm. History's about the dead. Then is our tribe dead? Is our tribe dead? Is the tribe dead?
No.
Thank you, madam.
You just heard Chris Trunchill recite Adrian Mitchell's poem Ancestors. The music was by Philip Klaus on violin. I recently returned from the annual conference of the International Network for Urban Research and Activism, INURA, in Luxembourg, where I recorded Chris and Philip's performance along with the fragments of a few interviews that I would present in this podcast. Inura celebrated 30 years of its foundation this year, so the gathering was extra special. You will hear Constance Carr, one of the co-organizers of Inura Luxembourg, along with several other Inura members such as Luan Tranchel, Fred Robinson, Marvi Maggio, Tino Buchholz, Laura Collini, and several others reflect on the conference and the 30 years of Inura. Please stick until the end of this podcast for another recital by Chris of the protest song Diggers with Philip on violin.
So I'm Constance Carr. Most people know me as Connie. And I'm a postdoc, senior postdoc at the University of Luxembourg Department of Geography and Spatial Planning. And I am the chief organizer of the Inura 2022 conference. So, yeah, this is a long time coming, this conference. We initially proposed to have this conference in 2018, I think it was. And then finally it was decided that we could do 2020. And yeah, the initial idea was actually to bring Inura, the critical voices of Inura, to a country, to the Grand Duchy, which has a kind of a reputation for not being very transparent in its planning policies, being somewhat dictatorial, although this is very disputed, of course. It is a democracy. But we wanted to generate discussion in the country, and that was, we thought Inura would be a really great opportunity to talk about spatial planning issues with a really, Inura that has a really great knowledge base, a very critical knowledge base on this. And so that was our intent. And for 2020, we had like a great program. We wanted to introduce Inura to many different parts of the Grand Duchy, not just the city, but also Esch in the south, to Belval, we wanted to go to the north. We wanted to look at community groups in Esch region. We had bike trips to transition urban gardening projects. And we had a meeting at MECO, which is the Mouvement Écologique, which is French for Friends of the Earth. And we had meetings with the spatial planning. So we had a really big program planned. And it was supposed to be a week long. And then we were going to have a 3-day retreat. I mean, it was a really big thing. And we had it all lined up. I don't remember the exact date, but it was like literally maybe 3 days afterwards. I don't know. I was basically about to open registration and say, okay, come on. And then the lockdown came. And then the whole thing just kind of just fizzled out. And we met back and forth of hope of whether we could do it somehow. But then it was actually fairly clear, fairly quickly, that it wasn't going to work. So we postponed it till 2021. I think at that point we were still thinking, okay, this is a 6-week or a 12-week thing. This is going to pass. But then, yeah, we realized that it wouldn't. And then, yeah, 2022 rolled around. And actually, it was January 2022. We kind of had a group of gathering again. Said, can we do this? Maybe. We're not sure. So we did a scaled-down version of it. And that's how we got to the format of this conference, at least, which was, you know, one day of Luxembourg and then 2 days of celebration, anniversary celebrations, because this was the 30th anniversary, 30th conference of Inura, and that was a big event. And so this is how we kind of arrived at that. And to celebrate the 30th anniversary, we thought, okay, let's have a series of conversations about, you know, looking forward. The time of the pandemic was really kind of, everyone was at home and in home office, and we were kind of reflecting on what, you know, Inura had done. And, you know, and Philippe in the Zurich Common Office, he had organized a bunch of online meetings to reflect on Inura as an organization and what it has achieved and where it's been and what its effects are. And then the idea was to come back face to face and think forward. But then when we got there, we realized, oh my God, like all these crazy urban crises are happening now. And so that's why we got to this program that addresses climate change and then housing crisis or housing exclusion and of course, the Ukraine war and politics. So all these big, major, heavy topics came up, and we said, okay, let's go forward with this. And that was how we arrived at the program, basically. And yeah.
And I must say, you did so well with the uncertainty, and like, you know, also sort of.
Yes, that was a big topic, of course, too. Yeah.
Planning again and again, and being sort of open to the uncertainty around it.
Yeah, yeah. So
it was a great conference. I really enjoyed it, and everyone else enjoyed it. Thanks
so
much.
Glad. My pleasure. Ultimately, yeah. My honor. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. So we're speaking with Marvi now. So Marvi, what were your reflections on Inura this year?
Well, this year we meet after a long time that was not possible to do it because of COVID. So it was a special kind of things, very full of issue that we wanted to discuss. And the other point was that it is 30 year of Inura, so we wanted to celebrate this birthday, and we done this discussing very key issue like the possibility to discuss issue, urban issue through space and time all over the world. But we have done this in a special way. I mean, we are very, we know that it's not possible to generalize what we see in a place and to use it in another. That was done by kind of colonial thinking. I mean, so you make a research about a town, and then you think that that is will be the same development all over the world, and this is not true. As
and Jenny was pointing to that.
Yeah, Jenny Robinson is a very nice scholar that studied it. Yeah. But there was a danger, like to say, we dissenter, so we do the research in a place that is no more in the West, no more in the first world, but still we want to generalize.
Yeah.
But the step further is we don't generalize if it is not the case.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
the idea is to have general question and specific answer. That means the general question is urbanization, territorialization, the deprivation and all the problem of exploitation and dispossession and all these things. But how they develop in each place, that is the point, because this opens up also possibility for change. If I understand very well who is the responsible processes, because this is the idea, to act on the processes, not on the effect, not try to manage the effect, but just the process. And I was involved also in discussing, there was a panel about Marxism and movement, and that was the point to understand how the method that Marx proposed was important, just because pose the right demand, that is, understand how the material basis of a society is organized, how it's produced, how you deal with nature, how you use technology, how you produce what you need, what are your social relation, institutional form, etc. That are the question. And then the answer, of course, are very different in different place. Mm. And they open up different situation. And what is important also of Marxism is that it's not only that look at the material basis, but also the matter that have an historical view.
Yeah.
So we can add all the demand of the movement, like the feminist movement, the anti-racist movement, like I quote in my... in my contribution, also the Black Panther, because they were so important. So through time, the Zapatist and the movement against the globalization, about against the World Trade Organization, etc. So Marxism is useful if you add new demand, you look up at the differences, at how it's developing now, and that's the point. Well, this was one of the things discussed, but I mean, there were also the environmental question, and the institutional question is, you can say that all these things that compound the material basis, you can say, of the organization of a society, all these very often are treated in a split way. So each movement try to change one of these, try to enter in the politics and the institutional, or work about capital labor, or work about social relation. I mean, this idea to work only on one piece not in the totality. It means that, and think that working only on one piece, only on one social relation will change all the other, proved to be not useful. Yeah. And the point is to understand that you have to treat, to see the totality of all these processes, see them as processes, social processes, territorial, that are territorial and also historical. And at the same time, they have to face totality, knowing that they have their own specificity. Mm. So that's a bit the things. Mm. And there were several other panels that I can tell I mean, it was a very nice
coming
together. And we are ready also to open up more. And something that I can say that was very good, and to have you, for example. Your work is so interesting and so important to develop. Because otherwise, I mean, there are general questions, specific answers, but then when you study a specific space, new questions can arise that can be useful to understand the place in which I live, in which I try to... Yeah. So it's a key point, it's the knowledge, not only to understand the world, but to transform it. Right. We are still there, and that's a key thing.
Yes. Thanks, Marvi. So thanks a lot. Just a side note here, we are in the center of Luxembourg, and it feels like we are in the countryside.
Yeah.
Luxembourg city is full of contradictions.
Yeah.
I will walk very fast with you, Richard, so... So we're talking to Richard now.
What was the question again, please?
So what are your reflections on Inura?
This time?
This time? Yeah.
Well, for me, it's very special because in the past 10 years, I was with Inura only very few times and only very few days. But before, the 20 years before, I was a regular attendant of the conferences. I was one of the founders. So I'm really happy that even after 30 years altogether, Inura is still going strong, and it has maintained the same sort of friendly atmosphere, and this kind of feeling of, in a way, it's like a big family. You have the old members of the family, you have the young members of the family, but we try to integrate everyone, and everyone can really say what they think and what they want, and they can even test ideas if they want to. As long as it's not offensive. We have strict rules about being offensive, aggressive, and so on. So we are very correct. And we have a general understanding of social justice. Let's put it that way, in the city. Yeah. So that's what brings us together. And besides that, everybody is involved in different projects, subjects, positions, universities, independent companies and so on, consultancies. Some of us are retired, like I myself, since 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
Since 6 weeks. And but the main thing is the interest in cities and improving the cities.
Right.
And I think you are, even also here in Luxembourg, once again, it was successful in that we were seeing a new city, because we try to go to a different city every year. And we have local organizers preparing the conference. This is a bit special this year because for 2 years we couldn't meet, and the team here in Luxembourg has prepared the conferences for 3 years, every year, again and again and again, and it was cancelled twice, and finally now we come together.
And what was your favorite session?
My favorite session, I mean, it's a bit, it sounds a bit...
One session you would like to talk about?
Maria, who was talking from Ukraine. Yes. We have one of our members, of our friends, who comes from the city of Kharkiv, and she was, I mean, this was very... how do you say, saddening, very moving, very, very emotional, of course, to hear the first-hand account of what is going on and what is happening, especially to her and her family. Very, very, very personal. not necessarily an urban topic, but then again, of course, it is an urban topic because we're talking about cities that are also in wars main targets of policies, to put it that way,
right.
if you can put a war in the terms of policy. And that was, I think that was the most moving. And the other thing is that this time especially, I found it very interesting, the mix, because there are not so many people as we are in other conferences, but the mix of people from India, from China, from Brazil, from Australia. So having maybe only 40, 50 people together from all over the world, Cuba, I forgot, all over Europe, Canada, United States, and many of the people work and come from different countries. Each one represents two or three different cultures, maybe. And that's the kind of setting that I really like, and I love just to be with people also personally, also on a very personal, not just the professional level, but also on a personal level.
Thanks, Richard.
Okay.
So we're talking to Maria from Kharkiv University. And Maria, how did you find Inura? What was your reflections on it? What are your reflections on it?
I like it very much. I find that in this kind of community where people gather from different backgrounds and countries, and they have different views and ideas on the same matters, and when they bring it all together, I think it is valuable for all the sides. And I find also valuable ideas for myself.
And what was your favorite session? I mean, we all loved your talk about Kharkiv.
Thanks.
What was your second favorite?
I'm not sure. I need to check with the schedule. No, I'm not sure. I can pick one.
Okay.
I mean, I skipped some from Monday, but from Sunday it was like one big whole discussion, because on different sections we did have similar topics, and they intercrossed, like about combining research and activism.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
You want to know something else?
Yeah. I mean, what did you think of the final session on Mexico and China?
I have never been to those places.
Yeah.
And these are quite unusual settings for me. I think in part it was a very difficult one, because we were discussing troubled societies, and it involves institutional power being used against the good of people. But also we can see how people abuse the possibilities, and so this intercrossing of different interests that shape the urban space. I think this was also the topic from some other section.
Thanks Maria.
Yeah, so I'm with Fred, one of the founding members of Inura. So Fred, what did you think about Inura Luxembourg?
I thought the organizers did a great job to actually continue to think that we could organize a conference, even though it was delayed twice by the pandemic. So here we are. We've done a conference. We've got to know something about Luxembourg, which many of us have never been to before. We understand better its contradictions between the modern city, banking interests, financial interests, and tourism, and the flows of migration and all, daily migration and all the rest of it. It's a more complicated place than we first thought.
That's incredible. that you could find something new about Luxembourg?
Yes, well, it started from a low base. I haven't thought very much about Luxembourg before, but now I come away from a conference like this, and that's the great thing about Inura conferences. They are located in a place.
Yeah.
We all try to kind of get hold of that place, apprehend that place, and we come away with some, not just good memories of comradeship, but also a sense of comradeship amongst us in a particular place. So it's unlike many other conferences in that sense. We are rooted, and that's very enriching for geographers and social scientists.
Very well said, Fred. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
So that's Anitra Nielsen, the author of the famous book on famous books on degrowth. There's several. So what did you feel about the conference?
What I've really enjoyed about the Inura conference has been the very the focus on relationships between people who are all talking about very exciting and interesting and very important and significant work that they're doing. Not just with a focus on urban, but really significant problems for the world in terms of sustainability, inequity, and also economy.
And Anitra, you came from Australia, and you're going to be around in Europe for a while, right? Like, you're doing like a tour?
Yes, I'm doing 5 conferences in 4 weeks because I would never leave Australia and be responsible for all the carbon emissions that are involved with the air flight, unless I had a number of good reasons for doing this.
Thanks, Anitra, and we hope we see you at the next Inura.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it, and I'll enjoy the emails in between and the other activities that we have.
Thanks, Anitra.
Happy how it went. We had quite good presentations and discussions, and although it's not a huge conference, it was managed well, and yes, I feel at ease how it went. And I hope we can continue like this. I mean, this is, I think, the format we can continue.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Harry. And did you enjoy the film last night?
Yes, very much. It was better than I expected. It was well made, and of course, I feel much more interested because it's about Holland and Poland, where I studied in 1975. And it touched subjects that both from the Polish side and from the Dutch side are quite on the table now.
Yeah. And I love the story of you squatting this youth hostel site before it was a youth hostel. That was so.
And that was
great.
This is the third generation youth hostel. I squatted the first, which was an old villa. And then they built the building behind this, and this is an extension. So it's the third generation, and myself, I am a grandfather, so I feel these 3 generations in my personal life as well.
Thanks, Ari. I mean, just for our listeners, this is about the youth hostel where the conference happened.
Britta? Yes, I really like to be back after 2 years, and I think it's also good to know that it will continue. I have the feeling that even if a lot of important and great people are missing, they couldn't come for various reasons, we'll have more Inura conferences in the future, and hopefully we can also integrate new people like you and others, and that we can keep on with what we started.
Thanks, Britta. And Britta had an amazing Deutsche Wohnen and Taignen mask on throughout the conference, which she has right now as well.
Well, quickly, I'm extremely grateful to the local group and Connie that organized the conference 3 times, practically. So to bring together all the group here was fantastic to meet all of the people personally again. Well, the conference, it's a little bit different from the past. It's quite obvious because of the problem we had in the past, in the last 2 years, but it's okay, even if I hope to go back to the normal format with more city tour and more engagement with the place. But nevertheless, it's great. It was great. Yeah. My name, Jacopo.
Jacopo. No. Jacopo. Yeah. That was Jacopo. Thanks, Jacopo.
Taking interviews.
Camilla,
yes.
Talk to our listeners about the conference that you just...
My thoughts about the conference, yeah, and the visiting.
Short.
I found it very much engaging again after this long break. And I think topics from the past that we have been exploring for years are still very much important for the future research and action agendas. So a lot of energies for the future meetings and the work that all we have to do for our place we live in. So a lot of fights, action and research. That's
Thanks.
My opinion.
Thanks, Camilla. That was Camilla Parone.
Yes.
So I'm with Lorenzo and Laura at the Inura in Luxembourg. And what did you think about the conference?
Well, first of all, it was a great pleasure to be back at the Inura conference. As kind of old members, we have been missing this kind of yearly appointment with the COVID, so it was definitely a pleasure to go back to meet this family somehow of friends, activists, researchers, which since so many years has this dialogue, almost constant dialogue, that was a bit lost during the last couple of years. So it's a great pleasure to reconnect with it. It was also a very interesting conference because I think it was the opportunity to sum up a lot of the issues that we have been confronted with during this particular year. So it was also a special conference because usually we had a much stronger focus on a specific place. In this case, the focus was not so much on Luxembourg, but more on the, I would say, the global scale of struggles and discourse, the kind of impact that the last years had on urban struggles and urban discourse. So I think it was a super interesting recap, reconnection of ideas.
And 30 years of Inura.
Yes, 30 years of Inura, but especially what happened during the last 3 years in the...
Because Luxembourg had like a central role on that, right?
Yes, of course it has this role in, as a 30-year conference, so also somehow to make some balance out of the activity. But again, as I said, it was also this particular moment with the pandemic, the shift in a lot of practices from real to virtual and back now to real, just to discover how many things and change have been impacts, transformation. So I think it was very useful from this point of view as a refreshing moment.
I share what Lorenzo just said about the pleasure of having, you know, the physical, the personal space for debate. I want to focus more on the topic because we have a variation of topics because that's what Inura is. So everybody brings in their own, his own or her own perspective on things. So One of the dialogues or the debates that we had was about the conceptualization of state and the local state, and I found very interesting the approach of Philippe Koch that was speaking about the polyedric formation of state, but also what Jennifer was saying about the conceptualization of the local state and the multi-stakeholder definition of the negotiation that are part of decision making in the relation between the state and the local state. The other thread that we had but did not develop enough, I think, it was this authoritarianism and border regime. I think there's a very important aspect that it's on our skins so much these days because of the what's going on in Eastern Ukraine, and but also, you know, the conceptualization of borders as something that we administratively see but we don't see. And I think it ties well with the discussion that we were having today about Luxembourg. Luxembourg is a well-defined, it has its own border, its administrative borders, but it's also a space of flows. Because of the banking investment and the financial sector and the fact that the transportation is free. So there's a lot of investment on, you know, on this transient possibilities of living in the city. And this idea of transient possibility of understanding the cities, it ties also with the financialization discussions that we had that was taken up by the example of the condominium in Toronto, in Ontario, what is happening in Amsterdam with the financialization of the housing market, both private and rental market, but also the debate on the resistance towards financialization of housing and land in the case of Belo Horizonte in Brazil, with a focus more on the legitimacy rather than the legality. And I think that that is very much at the very core of Inura, trying to understand what are the root cause of the creation of inequality and scarcity, and that we have been observing through, you know, the manifestation through homelessness and the unaffordability, inadequacy of, you know, living in the city. So that's, for me, it was a very dense 2 days until now, different from what we had in the past, because it was very much an observation of and meeting local activists, but it didn't happen here. But we had this plethora of observation that we also have been doing in solitude before coming to Inura. So yeah, glad to be here.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Chris Tranchell. I'm from London, and I'm a long-time member of Inura. My wife was a founder member, and has attended most of the meetings. I've attended about 10. And it's such a wonderful social group because the people are from very diverse backgrounds and experience, but all committed to this, we say urban development, which could be very vague, but it comes down very specifically to creating a good community and what those priorities are. And so often a little thing will come up, like the phrase about how do we sort out this class divide where so many people are right-wing that they maybe don't know what's going on, but they'll always vote for the what turns out to be the worst for the community. And the fact that it came up this week that Kasper, who's he's Polish, isn't he? Mm-hmm. That he brought in the thing of the patriarchy, and that it's women who suffer most from it, but of course one doesn't think of freeing men from the patriarchy. And I think that's a wonderful idea to have a campaign on that. It could cross the class divide, because upper class women feel yes, men treat us badly, and so and it's men who are the worst element of the pomposity and the arrogance of the right that oppress ordinary working men as well. So it just seemed to me, I mean, it's a dream in a way, but it is a lovely thought when you get, and it leads to other thoughts that can be creative as well. And we're very much into the value of the land, because there's many fine writers who have written about it. There's a man called George Monbiot, who's a well-known Guardian journalist in the newspaper The Guardian, but is also a lecturer in Oxford University. He came to one of the conferences, and there, shortly afterwards, he wrote this piece on the fact that, how come you own the land? William the Conqueror is going to go all the way back to the, 1066 in our history, because he then he conquers the country, and you helped me, so you can have that big bit of country that's Yorkshire, and you can have that big bit of country that's Wales. We'll call you the Prince of Wales, and you can be the heir to my throne. You know, and the country ends up being owned by originally very few people, and it's now splintered a bit more, but it's still... How on earth can you have the land? If you're at all of any faith, you're going to say, isn't it a resource for all of us? How come you get a bigger bit, you know? And I think it comes down to that in many different ways, and it is often echoed in things that say that people are giving us their paper on. And I love it when I hear an echo about that comes back to the necessity of having a fair assessment of the value of the land, so that they either pay real serious tax on it, because its value increases every year hugely, and yet they're doing nothing to it. It just gets more and more value to it. So if we just tax the value, not taking that away, the increased value, just taxing the increased value, you'd have so much money to use honorably, you know. I mean, there are things like that that's been a long campaign, but it's a question of getting the language across and the sense of it to ordinary people who will actually, it's not until you can get people think along those lines themselves that you begin to move people. It is, you do have to have a revolution in the individual, ultimately, as well as in order to get a revolution that isn't violent within a country. So you can have a violent revolution, say we've had enough, you're going, if not, bang, bang. Or you can actually influence enough individuals for it to be a common point of discussion and negotiation. So that everyone makes concessions and modifies a bit, but we meet somewhere. As in the end of all horrible wars, eventually you're around a table. You're talking and you settle something. And so it's, in a way, we are continually around that table after a long period in history that is a sort of war against the abuse of the ordinary citizen in terms of big business coming along, and this bit of land is too valuable to have people living on it, ordinary people. I can make a lot of money building this or having my works here. And the fact that a lot of cities were becoming ghost cities. Tell me when I've had enough.
thanks for that.
All right, so I make one last point that it may echo in many people's minds, that you have the centre of a city, and so it's the popular place, and the value in the land goes up, the value in the property goes up, so eventually it's too expensive for the people you need to do the work to live there, so they have to leave. And then they have to transport themselves in order to do the essential services. So those things are being tackled all the time as well. So more and more people are aware of that at the moment.
But I have appreciated this eventual conference, and I also appreciated how much work has gone into it, because Connie has possibly had two goes at making it a conference, making all the arrangements. And a lot of what goes on in a conference is hidden. It's hoping that it will bring people together. And this certainly has. I think in the first day where I heard you talk about India and the young woman talk about China and...
Tammy.
Tammy talk about China, and there was also the man from Palestine talk about how that's going or how it intends to go. So I think the two aspects, the two layers that I'm very interested in, not as a researcher, because I'm not, as an activist, is how do you get people to actually have the courage to think you would change the system, and how detailed, how far can you get with you thinking about it yourself? Are you going to change your system? Are you able to? Are you likely to be able more to refine it as you go on with a wider circle or whatever? So I have appreciated this conference because it seemed to have input from stuff that I've mostly only read about or watched on the television. Because although I've heard of Modi, I don't know much about what it's like to be ruled by him, or to be waiting to see what he thinks is best next. It's important to try to get round to where we make some research in suggestions of how people could change their lifestyle or shift their biases or identify things which we could do together and we could hand on to our children. Because I'm very aware, having brought up three children, that a lot of the seeds of what they do started with the invitations and the practice we gave them. And so, although I don't want them to adhere very tightly to what I suggested, I am quite peaceful about the fact that I made as a rule of the family that we would learn to share, and we have. I don't think anybody's fell out bitterly about anything, really, to be honest. And we have two daughters and a son, and one of our daughters and her family live upstairs because we split the house. It has two front doors, so it's in a very urban district, so it wasn't such a weird thing to suggest that rather than you leave the house to your children, that you actually split it now when it's needed. So there are things that pop up in Nura which I am mightily pleased to hear, and very relieved to think that young, advancing, often well-heeled students think are worth studying, and I'm all for them. We've had a few wars, but this war is the most depressing and disturbing, and I'm glad that we've just spent this session just listening to an exchange, because you might have noticed that one of the candidates said that it's not easy to speak about it, and as you speak about it, certain things come to you which throw you off kilter and make you emotional. Well, certainly the war in Ukraine, I spent my entire life until this moment really on Russia's side, very interested in all of what Russia achieved, what frustrated them, what went wrong, But I love all the Russian literature. And you might have heard from Chris that the performances and the characters that are in the Russian series are very stirring, and they mean a lot to us. So to suddenly see it all under the thumb of a man who's burning with rage and hate. And he said it just before his television started, that he wanted to wipe them off the face of the earth. And that is never a wise starting point. But in case.
All right, your food has arrived. Thanks a lot for that.
Cheers.
Really nice. Thank you.
It's a history lesson, yes. In 1649, to St. George's Hill, a ragged band they called the Diggers came to show the people's will. They defied the landlords, they defied the law. They were the dispossessed, reclaiming what was theirs. We come in peace, they said, to dig and sow. We come to work this land in common and to make the wastelands grow. This earth divided, we will make whole, so it will be a common treasury for all. The sin of property we do disdain. No man has any right to buy and sell the earth for private gain. By theft and murder they took the land. Now everywhere the walls spring up at their command. They made the laws to chain us well. The clergy dazzle us with heaven, or they damn us into hell. We will not worship the God they serve, the God of greed who feeds the rich while poor men starve. We work, we eat together, we need no swords. We will not bow to the masters, nor pay rent unto the lords. We are poor men, but we are free. You diggers, you diggers all stand up for glory, stand up now. From the men of property, the order came. They sent the hired men and troopers to wipe out the diggers' claim. Tear down their cottages, destroy their corn. They were dispersed, only the memory lingers on. You poor take courage, you rich take care. This land was made a common treasury for everyone to share. All things in common, all people one. We come in peace, the order came to cut them down. Pretty well.
Thanks to you for listening.
For more information, visit our website urbanpolitical.podigy.io.
Please subscribe and follow us on Twitter